This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
God, into the daily cycle of our lives, you break in. When all seems well with us and with the world, when our yoke is easy and our burden light, you break in and scatter our complacency. In the daily cycle of our lives, when we're comfortable, at ease, when the fire is lit and our eyes are closed, you break in and challenge our dependency. You break into our daily prayers. You humble hearts, lay souls bare. You break in when defenses are down with an angel shout or the quietest sound. You break in. And all things change. So may we be changed as you break into our world. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I've heard it several times today. I'm surprised you look good in pink. It is Gaudete Sunday, Latin for rejoice. Rejoice, O highly favored daughter, you have been chosen by God. It is that third week of Advent with our theme this week, joy. But it doesn't exactly at first glance sound like a very joyful reading, does it? To start with, I want you to just think back a bit in your own personal history, life. Maybe you find yourself in this place right now, but I think all of us at some place have been there. That you have been given something that you are totally committed to. You are feeling God's call that this is what you need to do. This is the approach you need to take. This is the way I need to live my life. And you give every ounce of your energy to that, and you suddenly find yourself lying in bed one night in the dark and start to think, did I blow it? Did I make the wrong choice? Am I doing the wrong thing? And we find ourselves without joy, without inner peace, and without hope. I think the message of today's gospel and the other readings as well are for us to take comfort when we have those times in our lives. John is in the dark, literally, today. That situation that I just described in our own personal lives that happens, that's where John is right now. It's a very different John than the one we heard singing, as I did, plan ye the way of the Lord, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Very different. So there is some learning that we can do from all this. Some people like to call this Sunday and the corresponding one in Lent Pepto-Bismol Sunday. And I think there is a bit of an appropriateness to that, especially today, because when we find ourselves in those kinds of situations, like John the Baptist does, yeah, it really gives you indigestion, doesn't it? More than that. So in Matthew's gospel, there are these themes, and it is very well laid out. So to understand where we are, just a little aside here to remind us of Matthew's structure. He's got bookends in his whole story of the gospel. It starts with the infancy narratives at the beginning, the first bookend. He had got that long genealogy and telling us all this good stuff about where Jesus came from. Then he goes into the infancy narratives. That's one bookend. The other bookend, as we remember and expect, when he talks about the passion, the death, and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. That's the other bookend. But in between, scripture scholars, and it's not by chapter and verse, but we can recognize that there are basically five books in between that he has. And each of those five books is correspondingly divided into two parts, where he talks about what Jesus says and what Jesus does. And there is always this sort of summary verse when he is going to go from one book into the other. And we get today Matthew 11, verses 2 to 11. Well, verse 1 in Matthew's 11th chapter is such a transition because, let me read it for you. Now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim the messages in their cities. And then we get today's gospel. So he's going to move into this thing about the narrative, what Jesus did, followed by the discourse, what Jesus said. But this particular book that we're moving into now with this story has to do with not only what Jesus did, but people's reactions to that. And the first person, of course, that we deal with is John's reaction to that. Now, to further understand where Matthew wants to have John the Baptist positioned in this whole story is to understand that there are three times in Matthew's gospel when John the Baptist is mentioned in the stories. The first we heard. We heard this when he's a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And immediately thereafter, Jesus appears and is baptized by John in the Jordan River. Then we get the one today. This message about John, sending messengers from prison. And I'll come back to that, but just for the sake of the continuity here, there is a lesser role that now John has. He's in prison in the dark. Now we're going to have one more time when he's mentioned in chapter 14, and this is a reference back of telling John's already dead, but it's a reminiscence as to what happened. And by the way, if you don't remember that story, Herod Antipas made our politicians of today look like saints. I mean, this guy had a thing for his brother's wife, and so what does he do? He has his brother killed so that he can get the wife. And John has the nerve to call him out on it. And we all know where that story ends for John. He's in prison in today's gospel. But when that last mention of John in chapter 14, it's already about John being gone. So there is this sort of receding presence of John in Matthew's gospel. He's the one pointing the way at Jesus at the beginning, baptizing Jesus. He's in prison, and he's dead. It's like Matthew's wanting us to see what John himself says in John's gospel. He must increase, I must decrease. John just gets moved out of the picture. So let's go back to this chapter 11 incident a little bit. Now, remember what we know from the other Gospels about John the Baptist. He was Jesus' cousin, huh? They knew each other well. They were best buds. Does it not seem odd? Your best bud is in prison, and he's sending these messengers to you that obviously have a connotation of despair and depression. Jesus, are you really the one? I'm in this dark cell. This isn't what I bargained for. Is this all for naught? Would you not think that your best buddy hearing that, would you expect him to come running to visit you in the jail? Jesus doesn't do that, does he? He sends messengers back to John. Tell John what's going on. And he lists all of these things. The blind can see. The sick are being healed. I think there's something important there in Jesus' intentionality of what Jesus does here. He doesn't come to John. Because I think there are times, even for us, when we get into those dark places, it becomes that it's got to be something between us and God. That we have to go to that audience of one and get that reaffirmation and to remember, maybe it's just that slight little light of hope as we remember something in the past that is going to rekindle and remind us that, yeah, everything that you did, John, and everything that you felt called to be, it's exactly what you were called to do. And when we get that little glimmer, that little light, and of course in a dark place, the little light really brightens things up, what's going to happen? We get a glimmer of hope back. And when we get that glimmer of hope back, we get a little bit more of that inner peace back. And when we got a little more hope and a little inner peace, there comes that joy. That's what's going on here. Remember, in past years, we've looked at joy as an acronym. It's right on with this same thing. The acronym, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, you. Remember that? It's got to be in that order. The minute that it's me first, we're going to end up in a dark place. But when Jesus stays first, he must increase, I must decrease, then all of that hope and all of that peace and all of that joy, and as we'll see next week, all of that love is going to come back. We're blessed in this time of year with these stories of the saints whose feast days we celebrate in the season that remind us of all this same stuff. We celebrated last week St. Andrew. You talk about somebody who pointed others to Christ. You know, originally St. Andrew was a disciple of John's. What did he learn from John? Pointing other people to Jesus. That's all Andrew did. As the Brotherhood read last week, Andrew was the one that brought Simon Peter to Jesus. When they're looking for food to feed the people, Andrew's the one who finds the boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, brings him to Jesus. Later on in his life, when there are Greeks, they want to come. What does Andrew do? He brings them to Jesus. It's never about Andrew. It's always about Andrew bringing people to Jesus, showing the light. We just celebrated the feast day of St. Nicholas of Myra. What a great saint. Rev. Carroll celebrated that feast at the Wednesday Eucharist and was able to share that story, and the most wonderful story about him was that he restored joy, peace, and hope to people, especially that family, a father with 3 young girls. He can't provide for them. What's he going to have to do? He's probably going to have to sell them into slavery. And yet, on the side, without looking, not wanting to be discovered, Nicholas brings the funds and a money pouch that's going to enable those girls and that father to have hope, to have peace, to have joy. This week, we're going to celebrate one of my favorites, St. Lucy, Santa Lucia. We all probably have music boxes somewhere that play the little song. But what an incredible story in terms of this theme. Where in Sicily, as the story is told, Christianity was illegal. The people are hiding in caves. They got nothing. They are in the dark like John. And what does Lucy, this preteen girl, do? She collects food that she's going to bring to them. And it's the only hope that they're going to get. And so she's got all this food in her arms. How's she going to be able to see in the dark in those caves? Well, she can't carry a light, but she can have this little crown with candles in it. so it'll light the way for her to get to them. Can you imagine? You're in this cave, you got nothing, wonder if you'll ever eat food again. And in the distance, you can see there is a light that's coming towards you, as small as it might be. And you know that your hope is going to be restored. We're going to celebrate right before Christmas, St. Thomas. It is intentional that we have his feast day when we have it right before Christmas. It's right at that day that is the shortest day of the year, when there is the least light. It looks like the darkness is going to overcome the light. Remember Thomas's story? He doubted. And yet, his faith, his hope was restored. So we have it just sort of everywhere, that when we find ourselves in those dark places, all of the above can be restored. But as we're reminded in that second lesson today, patience, patience. It might not happen in the frame that we would like it to happen. See the farmer await the yield of the soil. He plants, but then he has to wait. So do we. So do we. There's a modern parable that I've told before, but it fits this whole theme so well. It's told of a lady who's out doing her shopping for Christmas, and she sees a storefront with a big window pane. And she looks in the window pane and she looks at the guy behind the counter and she thinks, man, that guy looks like Jesus. And she's so intrigued by this that she goes into the store and says to him, you know, you've probably heard this a million times, but you look exactly my image of Jesus. And he just calmly looks back at her and says, I am. Taken aback by this, she asked him, well, explain, what's the store all about? He says, well, go through these aisles, and anything you could possibly need or want, it's there. Just go and write it all down, bring it up to me, and I'll take care of it for you. And so she goes, and she sees peace in the world. Oh, I want that. She goes over here, and it says, no more war. Oh, I want that. It goes over here and it says, all relationships restored. Oh my gosh, I want that. She writes down this list. She brings it back up to the counter and says, okay, here it is, Jesus. And he looks at the list. He reaches down under the counter and presents her with this tiny little packet. And she says, what is this? And Jesus says, these are the seeds of everything you just asked for. You go and plant the seeds. And if you plant those seeds, and with patience like the farmer, generations to come will have the yield of that crop. And joy will be restored, and peace will be restored, and hope for the world will be restored. So wherever we are, in the darkness, in the light, plant the seeds. Amen.